All right, council is back in session, and under new business, we're going to switch to item number five. If council's okay with that, move on to consideration of hospitality tax while we're waiting on auditor.
Yes, sir, and I apologize. The auditor went to the wrong place. She's on her way here now, so.
It's all right.
Sorry, we can make our way.
Get that back. So, Mayor Remy and members of council, we've talked a number of times about revising our hospitality tax process. And, we've gone through a number of, or I guess I've subjected you to a number of my drafts on how we might do this. And I want to say sometime before Christmas, I realized that what we were after is more or less what I see in the Oconee County accommodations tax application, just like Ms. Haggerty mentioned. And since my understanding is some folks who apply for funding from us also apply for that A-tax, I thought if we were to consider a process that was similar to the counties, that that would help simplify the process for people who are applying to multiple agencies. One of the things that, and I recognize Ms. Haggerty's concerns, and but to address your concerns specifically, Mayor, if I may.
Yes.
I believe the funding that you asked for the museum fits very neatly under tourism-related facilities. And even though the application asks you to tie the number back, it was not my intent to limit anyone's ability for what they asked for. Let me state that another way. It was not my intent to ask the council to restrict funding based off of those numbers. Does that make sense?
Sure.
And I get that that's what the application says. So we could do that a number. If you like this application, we could do that a number of ways. We can take that out of the language, or it's the final decision is always the council's.
Right.
So you can decide what you want to do. What the Oconee County Museum does in Westminster, I think, is a great service to us. I fully support everything that they do, and recognize that the funding that they get from us is important to what they do. I believe the application process you have here allows them to continue asking for that money as long as you as the council see fit or determine that you want to keep funding that.
Right. And Ms. Haggerty, I will say this is my 8th year dealing with these, and every discussion we've ever had, the museum is just automatic. We're going to take care of that museum. You do a great service for us, and it's not that we're trying to make this hard on you at all. It's just we're trying to simplify it for our staff more than anything else. So I think you're good.
I understand. Like I say, I go through this every year with the county, and normally that process says if I apply for any sort of operational or building maintenance funding, they'll say, what's your tourism? I'll say 40%. And they say, well, here's what 40% of that number is that you can ask for.
Well,
so it is extremely limiting on that.
Yeah, and we're not. We're committed, pretty much the city's committed to providing that for you for the utility costs. You know, we understand that. And I think everybody on council would agree.
Yeah, can I ask a question of clarification for this application? Because I think the way that I read it, and I'm really glad you came because I totally didn't read it the way that you did. The way that I read it was, if an organization falls under these categories, then this estimation of 30% of tourism doesn't necessarily. I read those as two separate qualifications, I guess. Is that what you meant?
Yeah, so the caveat that I, in my mind, would take care of a lot of Ms. Haggerty's concerns is the paragraph that's in bold where it reads certain tourism-related grants.
Yeah.
Meaning, I made this as flexible as possible for you to have discretion as a council. So if something almost fits, you can still fund it.
Well, in my opinion, operating visitor and information centers is the one that I would more lean to as far as the museum goes.
As long as you feel like you've got the wiggle room and your tents there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But the museum's one of the places that we can go to and get some solid numbers, though not all of them, as far as what the tourists you know, how many tourists we actually have coming in for that event. We really don't have anything else. I know that the Bigfoot Festival tried to do it, putting different, you know, rosters in the restaurants and stuff, and that's totally up to the restaurant whether they, you know, push that or whatever else. But the museum's been real good, and that's how, you know, you can see your dispersal of the tourists that are actually coming in, where they're coming from, stuff like that. So, and to a festival like Bigfoot, they're invaluable.
Are there any other questions about the application? And to be fulsome here, there are provisions that were in the county's application that I stripped out. So these are very, very similar. I mostly took out the word county and put the word city wherever I could, but there were a couple of provisions that they had in there because, like Ms. Hagerty said, they're given accommodations tax, and those are supposed to be heads and beds related to that funding. Yours is tourism related, meaning if they come from outside the city limits, they count as a tourist. So while they are very, very similar to the two applications, there are provisions I took out because you are not awarding accommodations tax, you're awarding hospitality tax, and you do have a bit more latitude than the hospitality's got a bit more latitude than accommodations.
I might be missing a Kevin, and if I am, just tell me, does this application reference or will it reference disbursement of funds, and are we making a change to how that occurs?
So I don't think it, I think there's one sentence in here that says that we'll give it out after you approve
it
and the new fiscal year starts. But based off the input I received from you as a council, one draft that I gave you was to have it as a reimbursable grant, meaning they would have to spend the funds and then come submit the documentation to us, and then we would reimburse it. I took that out, meaning we would still give them a lump sum payment up front. They would then provide, they have to provide a full application. The council would have to award it. You award it, we get into the new fiscal year, we would write the grant, we would write the check, and then they then have to report back. And if we found any discrepancies in the reporting back, we could ask them to reimburse it or manage it however we had to. A number of you said that you didn't want them to have to front the cash, which is why I took that out. Now, we can always put that back in if that's what you prefer. As far as your staff is concerned, we'll manage whatever you ask. I don't have any particular questions. It is for Ms. Overton. We did have a number of folks who called her July 1st ready for their checks, and she had payroll that day, so I encouraged her to finish payroll, self-preserving on my part, but for the rest of the employees, before we began cutting those other checks. So we'll let everybody know. It may not be ready July 1st, but we'll have it ready within the first week or two of the new fiscal year if you go with that process of cutting the check up front. Because usually they want, my experience has been, these entities want the cash because they have Apple Festival. I don't want to speak too much for Bigfoot since Mr. Glenn's here, but Bigfoot, and even when the Christmas in July event came in, they were needing the money to get paid people to get things moving. And so we were happy to put that money up front once you had awarded it. But it's how we do it is up to you. If you want us to ask them to reimburse it, we will. We're happy to cut the check out front because I think some of these entities need that, or they look to that anyway, whether they need it.
Okay. Am I missing it? Or I probably am. The time frame when they would turn those things in after the.
You know, it may not be in here, Ms. Snipes. The current policy we have now is 90 days, which we don't affect. You have to put it up there. Yeah, it's at the top. Leave it to the attorney to find the small print.
Yes.
So on the last page where it says hospitality tax funding, it says a final report due in season.
Okay.
And so, and again, that's just borrowing the county's time.
And is there a, so if that failure to report within that 60 days could disqualify them and could also require reimbursement to the city?
We could ask them if they refuse to reimburse it. I would probably consult with Andrew whether or not we want to take any legal action. Probably not, but certainly would disqualify them. I mean, it's always the council's decision, but the staff recommendation would be to disqualify them from at least the next year's allocation.
Okay.
And is this new or is this the same as the one before? The report after 60 days?
I think our current one is 90 days. Rebecca, do you know specifically?
And at this point, has that been followed through?
We've not enforced that provision since I've been.
So basically with some repeat applicants, let's say Apple Festival, for example, your final report would kind of come when they apply again next year?
And that's really how it's been done. Their subsequent year financing.
I mean, I'm not picking on Apple Fest, I was just using this as an example.
But.
Okay. Well, I think as long as we're taking care of some of the concerns that I raised.
Can I raise my hand? Is that allowed? I heard you say something that I wanted to ask. How do y'all define a tourist? Because I think if what I heard you say, it's not what I thought.
So, based off of South Carolina state law, a tourist is defined as anyone who comes into the jurisdiction that doesn't reside in the jurisdiction.
Okay. For Oconee County ATAX, it is anybody who travels more than 50 miles.
Right.
So that's how we've been measuring it. So if it's anybody outside of Westminster,
they could come from outside the city limits into the city limits, and based off the law classification, that's a tourist.
I am touring right now. Okay.
Yes.
There you go.
That changes that percentage concern.
Yeah.
Buy something.
Yeah, and I think some of that is just the rules that the county has adopted for their purposes.
Okay.
But if we go by what the state law says, what I just told you.
Well, that was just my suggestion. If you're trying to kind of make this all jive together for people who put together multiple applications across different sources, that definition is going to differ and require different counting and all of that. So just be good to put in there kind of big.
Okay. All right, any further discussion? Any more questions? We'll need a motion. We have a motion from Mr. Powell.
I make a motion.
We already have one.
Oh.
Jimmy made it.
You gonna read it?
Jimmy made a motion.
Okay. Second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? Call for a vote, please.
Dale?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes.
Davey?
Yes.
Aldrin?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am. Going back up the list, the new business item number 4, presentation and consideration of the annual audit statements for the fiscal year ending 2022. We have a representative from McKinley Cooper.
Ms. Marcy Lowes? Yeah, come on up and just looking for the table. If you're all right, I'll hand this out to them and you just do your thing.
Ma'am?
She's got sick.
No.
Sorry, I was loud. I've been sitting in City Hall in the dark. When nobody cares about the audit presentation, I guess. But I'll just wait. It's all right. I usually, if it's okay with y'all, I'll just hit some highlights. And I'm sure it's what y'all already know because y'all are getting good financial information. I do like to tell y'all that. By the way, I'm Marcy Lowes. I didn't know if you saw the name. Most people won't even attempt it.
I didn't have it on this.
Well, good.
I had McKinley Cooper.
It's Lowes. It's a hard one. So it's Marcy Lowes. I'm with McKinley Cooper.
And I'd like to thank y'all for letting us perform the audit for this year, well, for the fiscal year ended June 30th. I've still used this year, 2022. So I'm gonna hit some pages, probably throw some stats out there at you. But if you have questions or want me to focus on anything, feel free to raise your hand, contact me later, whatever. If you will turn, if y'all got it, first thing is the independent auditor's report. Those are pages 1 through 3 in the audit. It's gotten an extra page longer this year, so that's the new thing for us, the new auditor's reports. But basically what this is saying is that we audited the financial statements for the City of Westminster for the year ended June 30th, 2022, and we issued an unmodified opinion, or a clean opinion, if you will. So it's a good unmodified, we like clean better. So it doesn't say that anywhere, but that's what it's saying. But that's basically what this report is saying, and it's saying that our responsibility is to form an opinion, and y'all's as management is for the presentation and preparation and all that. So, good clean opinion. Which is nothing new for y'all. Pages 5 through 12 are the management's discussion and analysis, and I always like to recommend to me this is like the most user-friendly part of this whole entire audit. It's going to give you highlights, give you current year and prior year comparative information. So if anything, you know, I recommend you read that. I always like to point that out, this report. We don't form an opinion on this report, but we do make sure it reconciles with the audit, so the numbers are good. So without further ado, we'll hit the big step on page 13. This is the, I'm just going to get the government-wide. I'm going to get, as y'all are aware of governmental financial statements, you have government-wide, which is the city together, and then you'll have fund financials, which you'll have general fund, and then it's all separate. So I'm just going to get everything together as a highlight, if that's okay. Page 13 is your statement of net position. This is also your balance sheet. So for the year ended June 30th, 2022, the city had total assets of $18.7 million, deferred outflows of $600,000, total liabilities of $5 million, total deferred inflows of $600,000, which left you with a positive net position for the year of $13.6 million. And I do like to always point out, it's good to see a positive net position, because this does include the GASB 68, I don't know if y'all have heard about the PIPA, the retirement, mm-hmm. how the retirement's underfunded. So this, you still have a positive net position, even with that big liability on there. So I always like to back that out, even though we were required, you're making all your required contributions, you can't pay it down, so y'all are doing your part. PIPA just is requiring us to report this on there. So if I back that out, your net position would actually be almost $17
million. Right.
So I like to point that out. So that affected your bottom line by $3.4 million. And that's a lot of places still, they're usually it's a negative. So y'all are still positive even with that. Out of that net position, 86% of it is tied up. If you'll notice, the very last part is the net position, investment and capital assets. So about 86% of your total net position is tied up in trucks and vehicles and things like that. So it ain't going to make payroll. Mm. You know, it's not liquid. Does that make sense? I always like to say that. But you would have, if I back the GASB out, you would have about $3.3 million in unrestricted. So that's great. That's good. Good budgeting and spending and things like that. Good grant, it looks like. And I'm pointing to Kevin.
As long as you're saying good stuff,
you're doing the grant. Because, I mean, you took advantage of all those good grants out there, so which I'll talk about in a minute. But so that gave you a little bit of cushion. If you look at your unrestricted or unassigned, you know what's available. The general fund, which is your main operating, your what you have, like your little contingency fund, I guess if you will, sitting out there, it covers about 75% of your expenditures for the year. So you know you've got a because, you know, budgeting for property taxes and things, you never, just never know. Hearing about accommodations, COVID hits again, you know, those were they down, so, I mean, it's hard, you know, so they've got, so it's good to have a little bit of cushion, so some good budgeting going on. Page 14 is your statement of activities, or your profit and loss statement, income statement, government, or so for governmental, we call it statement of activities. And I'm not, I don't know how this is presented, but it's supposed to be more user-friendly, but basically what the statement is saying is your total revenues for the year, government-wide, were $10.9 million, and your total expenses for the year were $9.6 million, which left you an increase. So your revenues over your expenses were about $1.25 million for the year. I'm sorry. I saw it go up. So your revenues increased 14%, and most of that was due to the American Rescue Plan funds.
Yes.
So there was, that was a good, you took advantage of that, is your grant ARP. I don't know if you've heard of the ARP funds. But
oh, gotcha.
I saw that
okay.
Face. I was like, you might know the R for ARP. I hear ARP, ARPA. So that was the biggest change over this year. Over last year was the ARPA, and it was, you know, I should know off the top of my head, what did we get, like 1.3. I was about to say 1.3, so that was good that y'all took advantage of those. Other things, your debt, you did pay off debt this year. Y'all did pay debt down by $335,000, which is good. There was a little bit of new funding for equipment, vehicles, and stuff, but that was just used to buy fixed assets. So there's not much other stuff. I mean, there should be no changes. So, like, in conclusion, we did issue an unmodified and clean opinion. Revenues are up, and that was due to some good taking advantage of those American Rescue Plan or ARPA, under ARPA as well, funds. And if there are any other questions, do you have anything else I could point out?
If it's all right with you, Mayor and Council, I'll point you to page number 5, where Marcy and her colleagues did a great job of summarizing about 6 or 7 bullets that give you, that encapsulate most of the things that Marcy just mentioned. The second bullet being where we increased our net position by about $1.2 million. And some of that is related to the fact that we had more revenue than we had expenditures. So that is your staff managing the money within the budgets that you allocate. And some of that also came because we received the ARPA money in the bank. The other thing that I'll mention to you, because I know some of you are new and have not heard the phrase PEBA very often, but PEBA stands for the Public Employees Benefit Association. All city employees contribute to PEBA for our retirement, and PEBA mandates that we book the liabilities that Marcy and her group book the liabilities if all the employees that you have were to cash out at once.
Mm-hmm.
That's not likely to happen, but you have to put that in as a liability, because if that were to happen, the city would owe it all at one time. So,
I forget it's PEBA. I mean, I always just say PEBA, I drop all these things, yeah. So what we do with that liability is, I know, like, a lot of times it makes people go in the hole, if you will. We are required to do it. It is based on, I never can say this word, actuarial. I can never say it.
Actuarial.
Is that right? Like that or rule? I can never say that one either. Actuarial. So it's like you can't pay it down. They give us, like, they tell us, here's your report. This is what you're going to put on there. So basically, they're saying everybody retired.
Gotcha. At one time.
At one time, this is.
So those would be the two things that I would say. One, the net position increased by 1.2, which is good for us overall. And for those, just as a reminder, for those If you didn't know, and remind, if you didn't know, and a reminder, if you did know, that PETA is a book entry. And we booked it, and sometimes it looks a little more dramatic than it actually plays out in reality.
Gotcha.
Because you're making all your legally required contributions.
Gotcha.
So you don't need a budget to be putting money away for that. I think that question you answered.
That it?
That's all I have.
No, you've got a number on here we can call once we get an opportunity to go through this and if we have any questions.
Is there a phone number? There is a phone number in our letter track. Or if we give you, if you can read those little bitty numbers, I can give you business cards too.
Well, we've got the number at the bottom.
On page one.
Yeah, page one on the line.
I just think I don't need to look at that one.
Who do we need to ask for if we call?
Can you spell it?
Sure.
It's a speller. M-A-R-C-Y. And last name is L-O-U-C-K-S.
And the 233-1800 number?
Perfect.
Okay. Very good. Well, we're glad you found the place.
It's like sitting in the dark knowing they don't, you know. About walking to the police station and I don't want to freak them out either.
Well, they're here.
I don't know if y'all were locked, if the door was locked, but it was nice to come.
You're welcome to hang around for the rest of the meeting if you just.
Well, I appreciate it, and I think I hit all the good stuff, but feel free to contact me if y'all have questions.
Well, Marcy, you didn't see anything that was alarming, anything we need to look at or go into? Everything's good?
No.
All good.
There's the one thing about the volunteers, but I figured that's just when you have volunteers, there's like one little comment in the back, which has been repeated every year.
Right.
Just for the volunteers, we have volunteers. And I know that because I do enough booster clubs and
right.
Do that. So it's more, but nothing. I think they're like really, they're getting stuff really organized and they ask questions.
Okay.
And the volunteers are the students that we use to help collect concessions at the recreation events.
Right.
And there's always some liability when you're handling cash and it's volunteers or it's the teenagers. There's some liability. They need to acknowledge that liability's in there. We acknowledge it, but to fix it would cost way more than we collect.
Right.
Gotcha.
Yeah, we've looked at that every year.
There's always going to be it's more of a.
All right.
You have petty cash, you don't worry about that. But no, I think it's good. I think they're really good.
Cool, thank you.
All right, thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Kevin, anything else you want to add?
No, sir, but I am glad that you asked for a phone number. These are your independent auditors. They don't work for me. Rebecca and I simply give them the information they ask for. Jason White is our accountant. And if any of y'all want Jason White's number, Jason is over in Seneca. Jason helped prepare a lot of the stuff that Marcy and her group have put in here. We'll be happy to give all that so that you can question what we do to them directly if you like. But they report to you, not to me.
And Jason, I was going to say, Jason does a good job too.
Yes, ma'am. He does.
But I know, like, some people would rather ask questions not in the crowd, so feel free. Plus,
all right.
Thank you.
Thank y'all.
All right, next, move on to item 6, consideration of motion to provide a letter of commitment for the FEMA Hazard Mitigation Grant with the City of Westminster to provide the grant match of $28,626. Or 10% of the $286,000 grant total.
Yes, sir. Mayor, members of council, your staff is currently in the process of applying to FEMA through the South Carolina Emergency Management Division for 4 backup generators. One of those would be at City Hall, one would be at the Apple Tower Water Tank, one would be at the Highway 76 Water Pump Station, and the other one would be at the Public Works Yard or the shop. And rules have changed recently to our favor where our match would only be 10%. However, to complete the application, you as the governing body have to agree that you will support the match with a motion. We would pull these funds if we get the grant, and I don't know what the award timeline is going to be. It doesn't have a firm end or beginning end date, so we could get notified in 3 months. It could be the end of the year. I don't know when it's going to be. My suggestion would be that we take it out of the contingency funds that we put in the utilities. We put about $130-some thousand in contingency. If we were to get that this fiscal year, if we were to find out next fiscal year, then my expectation is we would have some contingency funds there. It's going to be a great benefit if we get it, and we're pretty hopeful that we'll get it based off the discussions, but there are lots of hoops to jump through, this being one.
Right. Do we have any quotes for these generators, or is this just a...
Yes, these numbers that you have right here, the $286,260 is based off of quotes that Richard Tucker and our electrician obtained for us.
Okay.
These are maybe not even a month old quotes, which FEMA had required us. We actually had quotes that were a year old. They required us to go back and update them, which we have done.
Okay.
And the amount was higher, as a matter of fact, but Richard resized the generators before we had them sized a little too big, so he sized them down for what we needed at each location, which also saved us some money.
Does the one at City Hall also include the police department?
It does not. It just includes City Hall. Primarily because they're fed from two different meters. So we opted at one point to only go for the one at City Hall and not include an additional one for the police department.
We had $100 in there for a big drop cord.
What'd you say?
We had $100 into it for a big drop cord to run across the street. That'll cover the police department.
I'll make a motion to consider. Don't need to read it all, or we're good.
Second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? Any more questions? Call for a vote, please.
Ruth?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Davey?
Yes.
Aldrich?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Dale?
Yes.
Next, under item 7, consider a resolution number 0110-2023-01. This resolution supports the local match for the CDBG Community Development Block Grant Program.
Yes, sir, Mayor, where one grant requires that you do the commit to the match before you complete the application. The other federal agency requires that you do it after they give you one. No rhyme or reason that I can give to you there. But we did receive the $250,000 that comes through the state, but it is federally sourced money to improve Anderson Park. It requires around a $46,000 match. We have budgeted in the hospitality tax funds around $50,000 to be able to provide this match. So it is in the current fiscal year budget.
And everyone knows this is for the Anderson Park upgrades,
yeah,
and expansion. Yeah.
Do you need a motion?
We do.
I'd make a motion to approve the resolution number 01-10-2023-01.
Second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? Call for a vote.
Adam?
Yes.
Davey?
Yes.
Aldrich?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Dale?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Does anyone have anything else before we go to executive session? All right, well, thank you all for coming. You're welcome to stick around until after. At this time, I'll make a motion we go into executive session. Motion and second. Call for a vote.
Davey?
Yes.
Aldrich? Jimmy?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Dale?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes. And we're going to take 5 minutes. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you.
I hope you got what you needed addressed.
Yes.
Come here, I'm going to tell you.